is leaning over the table, and everybody's smiling at each other, and the mother is proudly bringing in a perfect turkey, and dad is gazing on happily, ready to carve the perfect bird. All looks extremely blissful, like it should in a Norman Rockwell painting. We see the only shiny outside, and we can tell how many people are sitting at the table. We can tell if they all look happy. We can tell how brown the turkey is. But you know this, and I know this, if you are on the inside, if you're in the know, then you have a very good sense that what appears to be the case from the outside is really a situation with many, many more layers that are only known by those who are actually around the table. Like, for example, from the outside, you wouldn't know, for example, that Aunt Elizabeth has recently become a vegetarian and she's furious that the family has decided to go ahead and have turkey again. Or that cousin Nancy and her boyfriend, who nobody likes, have just made the announcement that they'll be getting married this summer. Or that mom insisted on using grandmother's silver, which means that everything during the dinner tastes vaguely like silver polish. All of that subtext is there. And sometimes it makes the dinner especially uncomfortable, and sometimes it makes it particularly wonderful. But despite the subtext and the layers of private understanding, everybody shows up to dinner because they are a family. And gathering around the table is what families do. This was what the group gathered on that first Maundy Thursday night was like. Longtime friends, once upon a time strangers, even the betrayer and the betrayed, and they had become a family because they found commonalities in their hopes and their dreams, in their ideas and in their promises around which they could gather. Promising opportunities with this man, Jesus, whom they wanted so desperately to follow. They had found, as different as they were from each other, that following Jesus was something that healed all of them, something that gave them hope, something that had become so critical to who they were that they were going to show up for that dinner no matter what. And this was the thread that tied the 12 of them together when they all brought to the table their differences and all their strong personalities and their promise and their potential, their pain, and even their failures. So the meal that we read about tonight is a family occasion on which they all gathered around the table, all their eyes focused on Jesus as they believed, even if it was only in passing, that their differences were incidental, that the subtexts of their life together was secondary to the greater purpose for which they were gathered around that table that evening. They probably didn't know at the time, of course. They didn't know what was ahead of them that night or in the days to come, the terror and the fear, the goodbyes and the regrets. They certainly didn't know that 2,000 years later, we would be gathered here and sort of peering through time into their family dinner and trying to make sense of all of it. Of course, we don't know the subtleties on what was going on with Jesus and his disciples that night in the upper room. We can read the text and we can read the accounts of all the Gospels and we can make observations about the foot washing and the bread sharing, but we're really not in the know. We weren't there. The one thing that we do have is our own experience of being part of a family. And specifically tonight, I don't mean our Thanksgiving meals with our families, but rather our faith family, our community here at St. Philip's. We know that Easter is on its way, but what we don't know is what difference the determination to follow Jesus here in this place, around this table, might mean for all of us. So we gather around this communion table, the altar, together, and we serve each other in memory of that meal that we're reading about tonight. And as we do, I think we are all very aware of the subtext around this family dinner table. We know the sadness of loved ones that we've lost this year. We might even feel a little fear or anxiety about what the days and months or the year ahead might hold for us or for those around this table that we can't bear to think of losing. Still, we gather around the table because we are a family, and that's what families do. And as we gather around this table, we feel hopeful, excited, maybe a little scared. Maybe we'll glance side to side, look around a little bit, and you realize that there are some people around this table that you hardly know at all, because our lives are so busy and we don't always take time we should to invest. But we gather around the table because we are a family, and that's what families do. And when we come to this table tonight, we might even feel discomfort, maybe anger, maybe annoyance. There are perhaps some faces that we'll see that take the role of the betrayer, people that have let us down. That happens in every family, you know. Still, we show up anyway. We gather around this table with all the characters in this family because that's what families do. And tonight at this meal, folks on the outside looking in might not know, but we know that times around here can be challenging sometimes, but they can also be exciting. They can be uncertain, but promising. How will we honor the past? How do we plan for the future? How can we take steps into what will be all together so that everyone feels honored and included as part of this family? We may feel all those things, but we will gather around this table because families live through joyful times and uncertain times, and they hold on what's ahead. We'll gather around the table through tradition and change because we are family, and that's what families do. So welcome, my friends. Welcome to the table of Christ, the table that recalls that meal so many years ago when the very first followers of Jesus set out into the adventure of trying to live a life of discipleship. Come, my friends, and gather around this table and bring all the pain, love, uncertainty, fear, anger, and hope that you carry tonight. And be nourished by the knowledge that around this table we receive a serving of grace and courage that will fortify us for whatever is ahead. And tonight, when the darkness falls, we will leave to follow Jesus with courage and conviction into what is ahead, because we are a family of faith, and that's what families do. Amen.